Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us on this wonderful Pentecost Sunday. This oh happy day, which we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, the beginnings of the church. We also mark the end of the liturgical season of Easter today. It's a wonderful happy day. A happy day for us as a diocese in which we've now learned that we have a bishop elect. That on Friday, Pope Francis accepted the retirement of Bishop Slattery and named Bishop-elect David Condorla as our new bishop. He'll be installed sometime late in June. He is a priest of the Diocese of Austin, Texas. And I got to meet him briefly on Friday when he was at Catholic Charities. And I came away with positive, good impressions. He showed humility and humor. A genuine interest in the people that were there. He is 55 years old. He'll be 56 in a few weeks. And that's important to me because us priests, we're encouraged to see our bishops as our spiritual fathers. And I'm glad that my new spiritual father will still be older than I am, even only by 17 months. So that's still, you know, the day is coming when that will change, when there will be a spiritual father younger than me, but I'll deal with that when it happens. Archbishop-elect Condro, when he graduated from high school, did not go directly to college. He worked for several years instead. Some of his occupations were as a livestock manager and a machinist before going to the seminary at the age of 25. And by the way, he's from Bryan, Texas, that area, and when he speaks, you can tell that he is from deep in the heart of Texas. He also does wood carving and carpentry. He asked Bishop Slattery if the garage of the bishop's residence was large enough that he could convert part of it into a workshop. And so if you go to the chancery office, you see some sawdust flying around. You know, maybe our new bishop has been at work at something. He has made croziers, the bishop's staff, for four priests who have now become bishops. And he said, well, it looks like I get to make a fifth one now. I believe that we will be in good hands. So we pray for him. There's responsibility that the Lord has entrusted to him. As we continue to pray for Bishop Slattery, as he now enters into his retirement to become our Bishop Emeritus for the diocese. It is a happy day. Happy day also on this Pentecost that I can announce to you that the former convent house, just a few yards away on the other side of the parish church, in August is going to become a house of discernment for men considering to becoming priests. It will be known as Damien House under the patronage of St. Damien of Malachi. And Father Brian O'Brien will live there as the director. He's still going to stay at Bishop Kelly, so don't worry. He'll still be Father Bishop Kelly, but he'll be living here in the discernment house with several young men to help direct them. They live a life of prayer and community as they are discerning and preparing to enter formal seminary formation. And I also have to say, for Pentecost, for me, has a special meaning. It's the anniversary of the first Mass I offered as a newly ordained priest in 1993. So, oh, happy day in many ways. Now, this coming week, I will be available to hear confessions on Wednesday evening from 5 to 6, but not on Tuesday evening because I'll be in Oklahoma City for the graduation from high school of my grandnephew. It is that time of the year. Graduations from grad school, college, high school, middle school, and even in some places, kindergarten. I have to say, this is one of several graduations I'll be attending, by the way. And I must admit, by the time the end of May comes around, I've heard pomp and circumstance about as many times as I want. And so I'll wait for another year to hear it. But it is a time of joy. It's a time of celebration that we should make a big deal out of. It's a mark of achievement, regardless of the age of the graduate. And there's a custom to give gifts to those who graduate, signs of our affection, sign of our friendship, of our hope, and also maybe of some things of a practical nature. One of the best gifts I ever received at graduation was I graduated from high school, and I received a paperback dictionary, which I used through college and beyond. So I have to admit, remember, this is a time before we had spell check on our personal computers and our handheld devices. In fact, it was a time before we had personal computers and handheld devices. So that book, I used it until it wore out in college and then later in the seminary. Gifts on such occasions, such as graduations, will be given. It's up to us, however, to choose how we're going to use them. The celebration of Pentecost, which we mark today, is a celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the beginning of the church itself. And as with the gift of mercy, the gift of the Spirit is given to us, but it's up to us to determine how we're going to use it. Now, the word Pentecost itself comes from a Greek word that is usually translated as 50th. In the Old Testament, this was known as the Feast of Weeks, coming 50 days after the celebration of Passover. And Passover was the annual celebration of the deliverance of the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. And Pentecost marked the end of the grain harvest. It was a time of thanksgiving, a festival to acknowledge God as the source of all blessing. Now, by the time of Jesus, it's become more of the focus is on God giving the gift of the law, the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. It's of such of importance that if you're a Jewish male at that time, you are expected to go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's one of the three great religious festivals of that time. So in the Acts of the Apostles that we hear today, it's the sequel to the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke. On the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus and a few days after his ascension into heaven, the gift of the Holy Spirit comes down upon his disciples. Last Sunday, in the ascension of the Lord, we saw that something in the physical realm, the human physical body of Jesus, is taken into heaven. And today, something of the divine realm, the Spirit of God, that bond of divine love between God the Father and God the Son, enters into the physical realm. For the world of the Spirit, the world of the divine and the world of the physical are not separate, but rather we should think them as interwoven. Think of the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh and live among us, the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ, the cross and resurrection of Jesus, and now the gift of the Spirit at Pentecost. The gift of promise, the gift of hope, the gift of life. And these images of the gift of the Spirit, we see them displayed particularly in religious art in images of action and of peace. The mighty wind, the flames of fire, the dove. Particularly notice our stained glass window. There are two distinct works of art in this church. One is the crucifix. The second is the stained glass window. The dove. Just go ahead and turn your heads around, so I'm pointing to it. So a visual aid here for Mass on Pentecost. The dove, the flames of fire descending upon the disciples. Gifts poured out upon these disciples in that upper room, and also poured out upon us. Poured out upon us in our baptism. Poured out upon us in our confirmation. And just as graduation from school marks the end of one chapter of life and the start of another, so does Pentecost. It marks the completion of that Paschal mystery with the profound reality, the death and resurrection of Jesus. It also marks the beginning of the church, the body of Christ on earth. The church, not as a social club, not as a civic group, not as a political action committee, not as a mere human institution, but as the living body of Christ on earth. For the breath of the divine life of God, that God breathed upon the waters of creation to give them life, has been breathed upon us. The breath of the divine life breathed by the risen Christ upon his disciples in that first Easter in that upper room has been breathed upon us. The same divine life of the Spirit sent upon the disciples at Pentecost descends upon us. And on that Pentecost Sunday, St. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, goes and preaches that first great message of evangelization. And thousands in one day are baptized and become joined to Christ. And the church comes to life. Probably the best day's fishing that Peter ever did in his entire life. Pentecost also marks our acknowledgement that without the breath of the divine life poured out upon us in the risen Christ, our lives are incomplete. It's the source of our hope. Because we live in the world as it is. a real world. Not the world as we wish it was, but the world as it is. A world when things are not always clear. A world in which evil is present. A world in which we fall down. I think that's why the first gifts of the risen Christ to His disciples is first is the peace of God, the second is the Spirit of life, and the third is the authority to forgive sins. To be the source of our hope in the Spirit. For we are empowered to be that living church, those living witnesses who preach the good news of salvation in both word and deed. Because we've been given the gift of the Spirit to be the church. Our lives are to be marked by the traditional gifts of the Spirit, the wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, reverence for God, or at least we're trying, striving, hoping, seeking. We're to be living those corporal or physical works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy, or at least seeking, trying, hoping to live them. Will we be perfect in doing so? No. We live in the world as it is. There'll be times in which we will fall down. We will fail because of our fears, the hardness of our hearts, because of our sins. But when we fall, the divine life of God in the Spirit is here to pick us up, to keep us living, to keep us giving, to keep us loving. Because without the gift of the Spirit, our lives are not complete. And the more that we give it away by living it, the more it increases in us. For this gift of the Spirit is poured out upon us, calling us to repentance, to conversion, calling us to share the gift, to be the living body of Christ that we are called to be. Thus, we are empowered by Pentecost, the divine life of God that is given to us.